Art and the 1913 Suffrage Parade. A new era in the women's suffrage campaign dawned in 1913, in no small part thanks to suffragist Alice Paul and the impressive spectacle she engineered at the Women's Suffrage Procession in Washington, D.C. Paul was a devoted suffragist who had spent time in England during the early days of the 20th century, where she witnessed the more aggressive, militant approach of UK suffragists. Paul witnessed firsthand the attention and excitement the UK suffragists were able to achieve using these methods and sought to infuse the US suffrage movement with that same energy and invigorate its public image through action as well as art. The first step was a massive parade in Washington, D.C., scheduled for the day before Woodrow Wilson's presidential inauguration. Between 5,000 and 8,000 participants attended, making it the largest procession the city had seen to date. The parade was a powerful, stirring display of women's power and the support for the movement. It cleverly incorporated new symbols and imagery to create a celebratory, pageant-style performance. That it was scheduled for the day before Wilson's inauguration, of course, was no accident either, since Wilson's support for women's suffrage was lackluster at best. The procession, which followed the same route that the inaugural parade would follow the next day, gave the suffragettes the opportunity to steal the spotlight from Wilson in order to further their cause. The cover of the procession program, figure 66, painted by Benjamin Moran Dale, conveyed the epic significance of the event with its beautiful and majestic imagery. The procession was in itself a tremendous organizational feat. Figure 67. The route followed Pennsylvania Avenue and ended at the U.S. Treasury Building, where a tableau was staged. The marchers themselves were led by prominent figures from various suffrage factions and divided into different groups. It included several floats on which women acted out important stories of women from history and showed women as professionals in daily life. Figure 68. Women dressed for the occasion, wearing the suffrage colors purple, white, and gold. The ribbons and sashes they wore indicated their allegiances, and they carried gold banners with uplifting words in purple text. Some even dressed like Joan of Arc, who had become a heroine of the suffrage movement. The 15th century girl warrior was a fascination in turn of the century America, and the suffragists found that she was an excellent metaphor for their own women warriors. Not only did Benjamin Moran Dale's program image depict a Joan of Arc figure, clad in suffrage purple and gold on horseback, trumpeting a call to her fellow warriors, but one of the most prominent figures leading the procession was dressed as Joan of Arc as well. Inez Milholland Boissevain, a devoted suffragist and prominent lawyer and public figure, rode astride a white horse, figure 69. Dressed all in white, with a cape and a helmet adorned with a Star of Hope, not only did her clothing allude to Joan of Arc, but Milholland Boissevain herself served as a symbol of the promising new future awaiting women. The tableau, figures 70 and 71, at the Treasury Building, served as a dramatic cap to the pageantry of the procession. The figure of Columbia, a female personification of America, played by Broadway actor Hedwig Reike, greeted other allegorical figures. Justice, charity, liberty, peace, plenty, and hope. The procession was a turning point in the movement, for it revealed the support and involvement of so many women, their ability to organize on a grand scale, and their ability to create effective and inspirational messaging in myriad forms. It was a sign that the suffragists' efforts were working, that the tide was turning. The procession was indeed so successful that there would be others like it in the coming years. Along with that success, however, came resistance. The parade was not entirely peaceful, and in spite of Alice Paul's earlier entreaties to the police to keep the participants safe, the parade was essentially unpoliced. Hundreds of thousands of spectators, a large proportion of them hostile men, thronged the streets. The parade route became blocked by the crowd, and groups of angry men began to harass and assault the marchers. Figure 72. 100 marchers had to be hospitalized as a result of this aggression. Ambulances called to the scene struggled to move through the uncontrolled crowd. Figure 73. Unfortunate though this turn of events was, it increased newspaper coverage of the event. Indeed, the abuse of the marchers and the indifference of the police became a leading news story, garnering sympathy for the suffragists. The day after the procession, the Washington Post gave equal front-page space to the procession and the inauguration planned for that day, crowing, "Woman's beauty, grace, and art bewilder the Capitol." Other features from the procession had a lasting effect on the movement as well. Inez Milholland Boissevain, for example, became an icon for the movement. Indeed, much like Joan of Arc, whom she referenced in the costume she wore for the procession, she became a martyr for suffrage. She tirelessly advocated for women's rights and suffrage, even in the face of personal health struggles, eventually collapsing while giving a speech in California. She died shortly thereafter when she was only 30 years old. Thereafter, Milholland Boissevain was a celebrated symbol of the suffrage movement, as exemplified by a striking poster, Figure 74, created by the National Woman's Party. The poster shows her as she looked on the day of the parade, dressed in the same white costume with a star on her helmet astride her white horse. The text at the top and bottom reads, "Inez Milholland Boissevain, who died for the freedom of women." She gazes into the distance, carrying a banner reading, "Forward into light." The creation of the image of a woman in white on a white horse, accented with gold and set against a purple background, demonstrated a use of suffrage colors and iconic imagery that memorialized its heroine into the visual language of suffrage propaganda. Cartoonists were inspired by the procession as well. Three cartoons, Figure 75, show a particular interest in the 17-day march by a group of suffragists from New York to Washington to participate in the procession. Spirit of 13 shows the tireless suffragists marching to Washington, a reference to the famous image Spirit of 76, a patriotic painting of marching soldiers. Another cartoon, The Spirit of 1913, shows a group of weary women marching through a blizzard while they envision themselves voting for the first time. A third cartoon, General Jones Crossing the Delaware, refers to one of the women who participated in the march, General Rosalie Jones, and shows her in the role of George Washington after the famous painting of George Washington crossing the Delaware in his Revolutionary War campaign. The procession in Washington itself, and the coverage it received after the fact, helped spur the movement tremendously. The suffragists were clearly a powerful, organized force to be taken seriously. The procession also helped to bolster the imagery of the campaign. There was a new, bolder tone to the movement and its art. Women were no longer just playing suffrage music for friends in their parlors. They were now marching the streets, dressed as warriors. As art continued to be created for the movement in the coming years, it too became bolder, working on behalf of a new generation of suffragists who knew what they wanted and would stop at almost nothing to get it. They were emboldened and were no longer willing to hold back.